relationship, I open up my heart and talk about us and invite you into something he paid for. I was just with Justin and Renee this morning. They've been so gracious to let me in their home. And I always ask to stay with people because I liked people. I don't ever ask for a hotel. I don't need my privacy. Jesus is inside of me. He's not going anywhere. Yeah, you have relationship. I'm never alone. I'm never apart. I don't need a hotel room in my privacy. I love being with people, and that's just my preference. I'm not saying somebody that wants a hotel is wrong. But we were talking this morning, and I started to reflect. Renee said, "So how did you get saved?" And that turned into a testimony, didn't it? And we got late and jumped in the shower. She got a shower so late, and Justin was in the bathroom getting ready then, and I'm like, I didn't realize we weren't all ready. But we kind of got captivated by the gospel and how it transforms. But I tell you what was amazing. My past is gone. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not regretful. It's gone. It's not me. Everything's been restored. But it was a sobering thought to recollect and think about how I was and how I used to be and how I treated my wife and my family. I remember talking about it this morning, and it was sobering, and I thought, man, I couldn't even relate to being that man anymore. And when I remembered being that man, it was like, it was awful. And the whole time I would have told you I was a Christian. The whole time. The whole time I would have told you I was a Christian. I went to church for 2 years just to make her happy and get her off my back. And I figured going to church would make the difference and she'd be happy. And that's how shallow we can get. We think going to church is Christianity. Going to church is assembling ourselves to stay stirred in love and good works and stay focused and make sure we stay in tune with what it's all about. Going to church never takes the place of knowing him and becoming like him. Christianity is not church attendance. Christianity is Christlikeness. It's not cool to go to church and not pursue living like him. It's not cool to come here and raise both hands and say, hallelujah, amen, Jesus, you're the Lord, and then have animosity in your homes. It's not cool. You teach yourself religion and don't even realize what you're doing because it's not an evil intention. It's usually we don't understand and we get deceived and we think we pay homage to God. No, he comes into us and changes us and makes us like him. And all of a sudden we walk in the light like he's in the light. And we love one another. It's a big deal. It stirred in my heart this morning. I thought, oh my goodness, I got pretty graphic with how I was as a husband. I haven't talked about that for years. And Miss Renee's just sitting there going, looking like it was bad. And my wife was the recipient of that. And bless her heart, she's taking the kids to church and I wouldn't go. And then I did go for about 2 years just to make her happy. And I lifted both hands when they played those songs because she took me to an expressive church like this. And I'm like, oh, why'd she come in here? Like, you can't hide. Like, if you just sit there like you feel, you'll stand out. And people think something's wrong with you. Somebody might come over with a bottle of oil or something. Pray strange words and make you greasy. Tell things to leave. And I don't know, man. I just know I was in the wrong place. Because I didn't want to get along with all this stuff and do all this stuff. But it didn't take me long to realize I better. So, you know. After a while, I got more comfortable with the hypocrisy, so. You a little lip sync. I'm not playing. I went to church for one reason. I figured if it's going to make her happy, I'll go so she doesn't look so miserable and unhappy. And bless her heart, I'm not being mean about my wife. I love my wife, but she was so shallow in that season that she was just like, well, he's coming to church. Yay. I had her crying most of the time. Before we got home. Because I would subconsciously vent and take things out because I felt like I was in church because of her and I was mad. So I went to church, did the Jesus thing, had her crying usually before we got home. One day, Somebody came up to her and said, "Your husband just seems so awesome. You just seem so blessed. Your husband's so nice." She said, "Really?" She said, "You ought to spend an afternoon with him." And I thought, wow, she's dishing on me. The cat's out of the bag. I guess the game's over. No sense going now. I got my out. And I told her, that's it. If you're going to talk like that and bust on me like that and expose things and talk about me bad like that, I ain't never going to church again. You blew it. I ain't coming. So I went about 8 more years and just lived in selfishness and darkness. Woke up every day empty and all about me. When it's all about you, it's a lonely place. It's such a striving. There's so much anxiety there. There's so much anger and frustration. That's where all these emotions we grew up with that we call normal, they're not normal. God didn't make us the way we grew up. Adam made us that way. We were born into Adam. Read your Bible, Romans 5. We were born into Adam, and you must be born again. Somehow we turned that into a prayer that takes me to heaven and blesses me and fills my vats and barns. Instead of new life through Jesus Christ and transformation and change. Somehow we got tricked if we're not careful. I'm not saying you. I'm talking at large. Body of Christ. I'm not talking at you. I'll look up here. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Somehow we got tricked into incorporating him into our life in hopes of a better one or a blessed one instead of a new one and a transformed one with new perspectives, new motives, new reasons for being. Loneliness is a place where selfishness agree. Like, selfishness is the loneliest place on the planet. It says, unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. There's nothing to reproduce when you're self-centered. It's only satisfaction for a moment. And it's really a lust and desire. It's needy. It's never fulfilled. It's like an addiction. When you live for yourself, if you have low esteem, you need people to like you because you don't like you. So then you live for praise. You live for accolation. You live for, yeah. And then that feeds you. And then you have to have more so that you're okay. God never made it this way. It was this way when Adam got separated and cut off from God. And we were born into life apart from God. We got trained from little up by life apart from God. We were born into a lie. By sheer instinct, you understood anger and you thought for yourself. Nobody had to teach you that. They took your binky before you could speak and you showed that you were all about you. When you're old enough to understand and mommy says, "Now listen, honey, we have these lamps in the living room. They're very special. They're great-great-grandma's lamps. Hand-me-downs. It's in the family. And we want them here. You can't get rough around them. I don't even want you to touch these lamps. Be careful in this room. I don't want you throwing balls. So don't ever touch these lamps, sweetie. You understand?" Where did they get that? You didn't teach them that. They're two. Let's not be deceived. Let's not say God made all that. Let's not say, "Well, God gave us emotions." Stop giving, blaming him for the emotions you grew up with. God did not give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you them. God didn't make you that way. You became that way when Adam fell. There's a renewing of the mind. There's a renewing of the spirit of a mind. There's a salvation of the soul. There's a new expression. There's a putting off and a putting to death the things that were. And there's a putting on the things that have become. Christianity is amazing. It's transforming. It takes me out of the lie and out of darkness and puts me in the light. "Let your light so shine before men so they see and give him glory." This thing is a far cry from doing ministry, serving the Lord, singing to him. It's becoming one with Him and having a relationship so that who He is overtakes who you are and begins to live through your life. And you look through His eyes and you love from His heart and people get touched by Him. We're the body of Christ. Yeah? Come on. So is this wrong? Am I correcting this? Are you kidding me? This is right. We ought to do this and as often as we can. And as much as we see the day approaching, let's not forsake this. And let's assemble ourselves together so we stir one another up in good works. We're not gathering to qualify. It's not our Christian identity. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I go over to celebration. No. You can stop right there. You can bring your children here and not realize it's Christ-likeness and not live like Christ when you leave here. And all you're doing is teaching your children that church attendance is Christianity. And that, hey, we're the way we are, you know, people are people. It's a wonder He loves us. What a cop-out. What a deception. What a lie from hell. And I didn't just swear. What a lie from hell. We can be changed. The Bible says, walk in a manner worthy of Him. It says, any man in 1 John 2 that says he abides in Him ought to walk even as He walked. He said, Jesus, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. He said, He's the firstborn among many brethren. He said, as the Father sent me, I send you. That's amazing. Sounds a little different than just going to church. Sounds like being her. Yeah. So listen, I want to encourage you this morning. The reason we're here is to be stirred in love and good works. I don't know Pastor personally. I know he's a man of God. I can tell he loves the word. When I'm preaching, I like looking over at him. He just has a great countenance. So I'm trusting he's preaching the gospel here. But they gave me the mic. Out of the mouths of two or more, every word's confirmed and established. I'm not here to tell you something new or that he never said. Hopefully I'm saying things to nail down heart and vision and purpose and destiny. But I know this, the biggest trap of us doing local church is turning inward and just trying to have better services that we enjoy. And the biggest trap of leadership is just trying to do church better instead of be church better. And all of a sudden, we just want to have better worship or better this or better that and better stuff in the foyer and a little fellowship hall and a little coffee shop so that people like coming. And next thing you know, we're just trying to make it so that people want to come here. No. This is a training ground. This is boot camp, man. This is a celebration time. We're excited that we've become a part of something. We're locking arms. We're an army. We're going to disperse in a minute and go out into our community and live in a sphere of influence and walk in the light as He's in the light. The reason we gather is to look more like Him when we leave. It's true. Because listen, you come here, but you live there. You just come here. You're only here a portion of time. You just come here, but you live there. And He said, as you go. There's a great marriage between coming and going. You come to be equipped and empowered to go. In your going is where the difference is made. You don't just look for your giftings in church. You don't just pray for people in church. You don't just look to manifest in church and prophesy in church. There's people all around you, all the time, and as you go, yeah? Wouldn't it be amazing if the number of faces I'm looking at would just say, you know what? Man, this thing isn't about me at all, but He loves me. He sure loves me, but it's not about me. It's about Him in me, Him through me, and He paid a price to redeem a truth that He made me for. Wow. Born again. Yeah, I get it. I'm putting off the old man and his deeds. I'm done with complaining, animosity, rightness, need to be. He said, she said, well, I don't feel, well, how come they? I'm done with it. And I'm going to start following Him, not just singing to Him. I'm going to start following Him, not just praying when I'm overwhelmed. I'm going to follow Him. Because He said, follow me. Yeah? Wonder if the number of faces I'm looking at, wonder if half of us would say okay. See how excited that makes me? Just wonder if half of us say okay. Wonder if half of us start growing in love and the expression of love and start taking notice of the people around us, the hurt and the need, and get involved and get outside of ourselves and just get involved in somebody's life. Just offer encouragement, offer prayer. Hey, can I open that? Can I carry that for you? You get to the car. Listen, I really appreciate that. That was heavy. Yeah, I get it. Man, no, I'm glad to help. Wow, you're really nice. No, I'm not nice. Jesus is changing my life. Man, he's teaching me that Christianity ain't going to church. It's loving people in a viable, real, and tangible way. Listen, while we're talking, how can I bless you and pray for you? What would be the biggest thing on your heart? And all of a sudden they go, well, and you're right there at the car praying. You still don't know their name. You didn't even tell them yours. You didn't hand them a business card. You didn't pass a plate. It's so awesome. And all of a sudden you hug them and they're weeping. It happens all the time. You'd be amazed how quick people will cry when you show you care, when you bring the Lord into it and pray. You think everybody's just going to get weird and freaky. People are hungrier sometimes than we realize. Whew. God makes me cry all the time with people. I'll say, excuse me, girls, and be ladies older than me, right? Girls. And they like that. They're like, hey, well, hi. My white hair is not just age, it's wisdom. I say, girls, these are true stories. Honey, listen, I know you're getting in your car. You probably came from the restaurant. Actually, I never ate there. Is the food good? Was it good? Oh, yeah, it was good. You ought to try. Wow, awesome. That's not why I stopped you. Listen, I noticed you were really laboring. You were favoring your left side and your leg. She said, yeah. Why? Why did you notice that? Well, I just saw it. I felt like you were in pain. Her friend said, pain? This girl's been in pain for 6 weeks. It's some kind of tendonitis, they said, and they don't know what. And they've been trying, and it just hurts. She'd tell me a whole lowdown. And I said, she said, why are you asking? I said, well, I'll be real straight with you, okay? See, I feel it now. I just started to cry. I said, I'm a Christian, and Jesus has taught me to really care about people and recognize what they're in the middle of. And I just thought, you know, maybe we could pray and God could change something. Please don't say no. Can I pray for you? Please don't say no. And her friend said, well, I'm going to the car. Their friend left. It's not that I did anything wrong. It's just a reflection of where her friend is. And she thought it was strange. And who's this guy? And everybody's up to something. And everybody has a catch. And we've all been touched so wrong that now we all have walls and shields and fortresses built around us. And we're all in self-defense and self-protection. And Jesus said, deny yourself. Ain't that something? There's Christian books that say they're Christian that tell you to put those walls around you so you don't get hurt anymore. I'm wondering why we're so touchy. If we're love. If love takes no account of the wrong and love's not self-seeking, why are you protecting and defending if he's your rock and defense? Do you understand he's your rock and defense because he teaches you to love and love is your safe place? Do you understand in love you wake up and nobody owes you a thing? That's pretty freeing. Do you understand when you love, you wake up and you don't wake up to be loved, you wake up to love. Do you understand that? Like nobody owes you anything. So nobody can let you down and break your heart. There's no surprises. There's no failed expectation because there is none. Wow. That would help our marriages, wouldn't it? Instead of 50-50, give and take, lot of work, man has needs, women have needs. I got one more grunt coming, sorry. You show me one arena where that kind of mindset has produced life. It's given us excuses for one another and we justify ourselves and we make each other the problem. And next thing you know, Jesus isn't even Lord. Our thinking is. And all of a sudden we sing that he's Lord and we let our spouse decide how well we're doing. All of a sudden we sing Jesus is Lord and we let our job determine who we are. And we find we're most deceived. And we say something without becoming something. And it's not cool. Is this too intense? Are you guys okay? This is all the stuff I preach. This is the only stuff that comes to my heart when I stand up here. I'm sorry, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry if you weren't expecting this. But I'm not sorry. Because honestly, I have full conviction that these truths will transform your life if you're willing to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and throw away every factor in your life and let Him be Lord. I'm convinced this will transform our families and our homes. I'm convinced this will make you a different person, and that's what He paid for. I have news for you. He did not pay for you to have a reservation in heaven. He paid to move inside of you. Come on. We make the gospel all about going to heaven. Heaven wants to come back into you because the kingdom of God is at hand. At hand means in reach. He said, you go pray. You go into all the world saying the kingdom of God is here. Where is it? You're looking at it. Don't look here. Don't look there. For the kingdom of God is within you. Whoa. And somehow at large, body of Christ, at large, I'm not saying you guys, I'm not saying you, Corey, pastor, somehow at large, we, the body of Christ, have made the gospel self-serving and beneficial and even a survival kit. We've made the gospel to protect us and to defend us and to keep us and to make sure our seas are as glassy as can be. And when they're not, which they never are, then we're a little confused, frustrated, wondering what's wrong with us, why aren't our prayers answered, and where's God, and why is the devil, and how come? So we go to church, raise our hands, and live in quandary, and don't bear much fruit, called loving one another. Come on, I'm just saying, I hope you're okay. Don't get offended by that, please. I can feel a little ruffle on that one. Don't you get offended by that. In fact, if you're getting offended, it must make sense. Come on. You couldn't get offended if that didn't click. Because if that didn't click, I'm not even talking in your direction, so why would you get offended? You'd be like, well, I don't relate to that. The reason God sent His Son and Jesus shed His blood and rose from the dead was to redeem the truth in us and put His life back inside of us and get us back to the beginning before sin, apart from sin, so His glory could cover the earth. He didn't send His Son so you and I could have a better day. He sent His Son so we could have a transformed one and live a new life through Jesus Christ. For the Christ in you is the hope of what? Glory. So you know that. Glory, any made known, visible, tangible, revealed attribute of God. The glory of God. Any realized, manifested, main seen and known attribute of God is the glory of God. Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. That's what it means. Isn't that awesome? The Christ in you is the hope of the glory of God. You know what we think? Just God manifesting and answering our prayers, meeting His promises, giving us full vats and barns. The Christ in us is the hope of the glory of God. God coming into my life, flooding my blessings. That's what we think. No, it doesn't mean that. The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. You're the only one He's got. You're the roster of heaven. And He's okay with it. He says, if you forgive, they'll be forgiven. If you don't forgive, they won't be forgiven. Why? If you don't walk in love like He walked in love and forgave you, how will they see the love that forgave you if you don't manifest the love? If you shut up your heart and get in unforgiveness, how will they see the love and mercy and forgiveness of God? If you get legalistic, if you just get into stuff that the body of Christ has trapped into, there's so many different things now out there that are called Christian, it's frightening. Some of it's mean, some of it's abrasive, some of it's controlling, some of it's legalistic. It's just, it doesn't produce life. It traps men and boxes men in. Love is so freeing. I can wake up every day. Watch this. Every day, no matter what any man thinks, I can have fellowship with God and I can love you, period. You don't even have to receive the love. The lady walked to the car. Remember, I'm back at the story. The lady walked to the car. I can still genuinely love her. She doesn't have to receive. I can still sow a seed. I can still water something and God can still do a work. Yeah? But the friend, she can't walk that fast because she's hurt. So I got her anyway. She can't really get away from me. So I kind of got around her. I said, listen, I'm sorry she doesn't understand. And I'm not trying to control you or anything. I'm going to eat. You don't owe me a thing. The truth is, honey, he changed my life. And listen. And I compel people. I say, listen to me. If I have never seen anything like this before happen, or if I didn't believe it could happen, I would be a fool to ask to pray because I'd already know nothing could happen anyway. Don't you understand? This is how I live. He's taught me to live this way. Please give me the honor of praying for you. Wonder if he comes. Wonder if he changes that. You've got nothing to lose. If nothing happens, you got what we had before we said hi. But if it changes,
oh, whoa.
And she went, go ahead. I was like, yeah, fire. No, I was real gentle with her. I was gentle. I didn't do that. Don't do that. It was a joke. Guys, I've been on airplanes. I sit on airplane. Somebody actually asked me how I'm doing. I love it because I'm not a rhetorical guy. I'm not like, well, hanging in there, man. Just hoping my flight's on time. Wishing I was a little farther to the front. You know, you smell that pooper. It's not cool, dude. That's just normal life. That's everyday conversation with people. You know, how you doing? Well, you know, flight's really backed up. I'm not sure I'm going to make my connection. I don't know what I'm going to have to do if I have to stay in Atlanta. I'm just hoping for the best, man. Hanging in there, though. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You're probably not going to find me talking like that. Let me clarify that. There's not a chance. You say, hey, man, how you doing? I'm sitting there. How you doing? I'm like a human pool cord doll. How are you doing? I'm telling you, man. Because I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not distracted. I'm not frustrated. I'm not mad at you for trying to push in line to get on the same plane quicker. I don't know how to do that anymore. The gospel changed me. I see people that he paid for. And whether you understand it or not, you're worth it. And I get it. And he taught me through scripture not to judge any man according to the flesh, but see him for their potential purpose and value. So it's so easy to love people. I don't care if they're acting out of order. It just shows me they don't see and understand, and I have compassion, not frustration. Guys, we can be so thin-skinned. We get on a plane, and there's a child on the plane, and people are like, oh, no. A small child. And I paid $450 to hear them cry. I'm being real. Parents are under so much pressure on a plane, it doesn't even make sense. They are under so much pressure, it's horrifying. Shh, oh, shh. And then you have some parents that just have hardened themselves and say, whatever. I think they twitch and squeeze their ear now. I'm just saying, I've seen it. You're either under pressure or you harden your heart and don't care. That doesn't sound like good options. You're in third grade and school kids start laughing at you and mocking you for piece of clothing you wore, or your lunchbox, or whatever. You're in third grade, man. It probably happened sooner than that. But two kids laugh and another one chimes in and then they call you a name. You got two choices because you only have two choices because the gospel's not realized in our lives. And you got two choices. You either become introverted, broken, and insecure, or a fighter. And you let life fashion you instead of the giver of it. And at a very young age, you're a product of what you've been through and what you have experienced and how you've responded, not what he made. At a very young age. And then those dysfunctions birth desire. And those dysfunctions dream. And those dysfunctions lead you into a la-la world that you aren't even that person. You were made to be that way. It's all false. Got to get born again. Got to die to live. I was on an airplane. You know how Southwest works? They let you just They just let you get whatever seat. When you get on, you can just pick your seat. First come, first serve seating. You get in the A zone, B zone, C zone, whatever. So I go on the plane. I got seats everywhere. I had like the early B's or the late A's. I'm like, go in there, and there's seats everywhere. And there's a lady sitting there holding this little tiny infant child. He's probably a little over a year. And I jumped right in the middle. She was out on the aisle in case she had to get up with him and stuff. She was out on the aisle, and I jumped in the middle. Not the window, not another seat. I jumped beside her in the middle. And she said, "Oh, sir, you don't want to sit here. I got my little boy, and I'm not sure how he's going to do. It's just real. I'm not sure how he's going to do. There's seats everywhere, sir. You don't want to sit here." I said, "Ma'am, I do want to sit here. I chose this seat on purpose." I said, "Because I have no problem sitting here. And the problem is, if I don't sit here, somebody's going to get forced to. And the person that sits beside you won't want to be here. I'm sitting here on purpose. Because I love you and I love your little boy." Simple prayer. See, it's not just praying for the blind, the sick, and the lame. It's loving people. You might not be able to do this. I was in a position to do this. You're standing in Walmart and you look and she's got the three kids. There's holes in the sneakers. The clothes are very dirty. And you think, oh man. And they're just going through it. And then you see the food stamps. You see all the food. And then she owes some money because she bought this and that. So she got her food stamps out, but then she bought a couple items, a couple things. She had a little bit of a bill. I forget what it was. It's not relevant. And the lady told her what she owed, and she's like, "Oh my goodness, is it that much?" And it wasn't a huge amount, but to her it was. And she's digging through her purse, and she has her change thing, and she's trying to find what she needs. And I just reached up over her shoulder and slid my card through the thing. And she said, "Did you just swipe? That's for me. Did you just swipe?" I said, "Well, yeah, that's for you. I swiped it for you." "But sir, what? You don't, what?" "Jesus just put it in my heart to pay that for you. He loves you. He doesn't want you struggling. I feel like it's been a tough season in your life." And bam, bam, right at Walmart. "It's okay. No, it's okay. He loves you." And all of a sudden, it's just you and her in the world. You're not in Walmart. It's the kingdom. And you're just holding her. And she's crying on you, and she doesn't even know you. But I'll tell you what, she's being loved, and she sure is getting ministered to by love. Every one of us can live that way. There ain't nobody that can't live that way. Unless you choose not to or believe you can't. And in the end, you'll find you were deceived. The whole reason God made man in the Bible, read Genesis. "Let us make man in our image." Guys, he didn't just make man. He made man with intention. "Let us make man in our image." And in the image of God, in the likeness of God, he made man, both male and female. Why did Jesus come? To restore the image. Why? The image got lost when Adam ate the tree. And love got perverted into selfishness. You turn love 180 degrees, you have selfishness. You turn selfishness back 180 degrees, you have love. Jesus came and said, "If any man come after me, let him first deny him." Why is that first? Because not one man was ever made for himself. You were made for his image. So Jesus took on our image so we could be restored back to his. Christ in me, the hope of glory. God made man in his image, and God is love. God made man to love. When man got cut off from God, he became in need of love. We all relate to that because that's what we were born into, Adam. And every one of us needed love from the time you can remember. But the reason we're on the earth is to love, because we're grafted in to love. Yeah? He is the vine. We are the... Where's the fruit grow? And in this the Father's well pleased that you bear much. In this the Father's well pleased that you attend much church. In this the Father's well pleased that you bear much. And that's your fruit. That means that you do it in sincerity and continue to live that way. Because it's who you've become. It's not what you do. It's not what you're applying. It's who you are. Are you guys with me? Every one of us can live this way. Oh my goodness, I got time. I just got scared, man. Did you tell I got scared? I was like, what time is it? I thought it was like 2. I was like, what time? I think God turned back the sun for me today. I was pleading last night. It didn't happen. I think something just happened. Are you kidding? No, and it's not that I even have to use all my time. It's that we say what God's saying and we get encouraged and inspired by it, and that our faith and our convictions and our souls get confronted. And we yield and adapt and yes and humble and yay. And we leave here with a strong sense of conviction and knowing of why we're here and who we are. So you can't just slip into the lie and just fight in your car over where you're going to eat and really be serious. Serious, I don't want to eat there. Well, how come you always get your turn? You always get to pick where you want to eat. That doesn't ever have to happen. You can get to a place where you could care less where you eat. You're just thankful you have food. And if they're happy, you're happy. I'm just going to tell you this little thing Jesus taught me a long time ago. And it's not deep in rocket science, because if it was deep, I wouldn't get it. I'm a very not intelligent man. You have no idea. I breezed through city schools and was pumped that I was in a city school. The curriculum was way low, and I said, yay. Never went to college, never been to Bible school. I have no education in my life outside of this breeze through city schools. But I can tell you, I've been with Jesus, and he's changed my life. I'm not against education. But I learned something. He taught me this. You guys know I'm not against education, right? I wasn't against education. Takes 2 to tango. Takes 1 to make peace. Takes 2 to tango. Yeah, but my spouse, my wife, my husband, you don't understand. Stop. You're already in the middle. You're tangoing. You're throwing fuel on a fire. You're crying for it to go out and you're fueling it. Stop. You're just holding them in rightness, making them wrong. You're right. That's a problem. If God came right, we're all wrong. He came righteous and positioned us to be right with him. And even though we were all wrong, he made us right. And believed that we had a better outcome. Believed we had a better purpose, a better potential. It takes 2 to tango. It takes 1 in Christ Jesus to hold a family together in peace. To not budge, to not shift. And if the rest of the family decides to walk off a cliff into darkness, truth hasn't changed, nor has your calling, destiny, or identity. So don't let their decision change your life. Don't let what they don't see determine what you do see if he's the light of the world. Are you with me? We have made our lives so conditional on one another that we've actually forbid him to be Lord all the while we're singing he's Lord. We've made our well-being so conditional on our circumstances that we're only as good as things are going instead of as good as he is in me and why. And we've denied him being Lord the whole time we sing he is. Look, guys, that's not a riddle. I can tell you're hearing me. That's just too easy to hear. And I've asked the Lord a long time ago when I preach, let one of two things happen. That a man sits and says, I hear what you're saying, and I want that. Or I hear what you're saying, I don't want that. But please, God, don't let him say, what are you saying? And I don't think there's anybody in the room going, what are you saying? So you're the steward of your own heart. You're the steward of your own life. Nobody knows you like you. Nobody can live faith for you. Nobody can make you love him. But he calls you to himself. And today, he's saying, what are you going to believe? And what are you going to do with what you're hearing? I didn't preach none of this because you're doing wrong. I preached it because you're called to it. I didn't preach this because of where you're not. I preached this because of where you're called. I didn't fly all the way up here to correct you. I flew up here to tell you who you are and what he paid for and what's possible. And hope that if you were believing anything else, you would never believe it again. And that you would bear fruit unto God and use this one little window called life as a gift and bring glory to his name forever because you surrendered it back to his name. And you didn't expend it on yourself. Because if a seed doesn't die, it abides alone. But if it dies and falls to the ground, it'll spring up and bear much fruit. So today's not the day to have an attitude, be angry, frustrated, or have an opinion. Yesterday wasn't even. Tomorrow certainly isn't. So you have to say, what am I going to do with what this man's crying out? And how am I going to respond? I'm not having an altar call. This isn't a church setup. I'm not a religious guy. Your heart's your altar. You're already before him. Your conscience is already heard. You already knew what you're going to do with what I'm saying. So if you're saying yes, your yes is before God. And your yes will be proven through your life and how you walk out your life. And if you say no, your no's before God and it'll be proven by the way you walk out your life. See, that's pretty straight. There's no way around that. The life you live is what you believe. And these signs shall follow those that believe. And the things I do, you will do if you believe. So let's be believers. I want to thank you for letting me come and cheer on the little girl that we were going to pray for. How's that working? Is that later? So I can go out there and do that. I'm going to turn it over. I feel done. I feel like I said what I'm supposed to say. I'm going to go pray for that baby, okay? I'm not going to do any ministry or anything right now. I feel like one of the most healthy things, and I don't know, you can see if you agree, Matt and Pastor. I just feel like one of the healthiest things on a message like this, in a morning like this, is not to do a bunch of ministry, but really think about what you're hearing and weigh it and leave here. Talk about it as a family. Talk about it alone with God and really apply these truths to your life and watch the grace and fruitfulness of the Lord multiply. We can all walk in love, people. He paid the price for it. It's why we're on the planet. The only reason man's on the earth is for his image. And the only reason we woke up is mercy gave us another day to be like him. All the other things are perks and benefits. Friendships, relationships, family, yay. But unless you love less all these things, you'll never in no way be my disciple. Let's not miss the point of why our heart's beating. It's not to get through and have a better life. It's to be like him. Amen. Thanks for having me.